All right, this video is sponsored by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with over 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. Premium memberships give you unlimited access so you can join the classes and communities that are just right for you. Whether you want to fuel your curiosity, creativity, or even your career, Skillshare is the perfect place to keep learning and thriving. Join more than 7 million creators learning with Skillshare. Join groups with like-minded learners, give and receive feedback on projects, and speak with others that have the same interests as you. I personally enjoyed a lesson on Skillshare called Working Not Working, which is geared towards educating freelancers, creative freelancers, in brand elevation and earning more money. Skillshare is giving away a free 2-month unlimited access trial to Concrete subscribers who click the link in the description box below. After that, it's only $10 a month. We are finally back on the Concrete podcast. It's been a 2-week break. It's been slow around Concrete for the past 2 weeks.
Got some changes.
We've been going through a lot of changes. But today's special guest, you have spent over a decade in the federal penitentiary for trafficking cocaine in the 80s. You were part of the cocaine cowboys days. After what?
The cocaine cowboys.
You were after the cocaine cowboys, but yeah. You went to prison in the 80s, right?
A little bit in the 80s. The tail end of the 80s.
Well, yeah. Wait. This is our... We got to officially introduce our guest.
Okay, who is our guest? So today? Our guest today
on
is...
On the Concrete podcast.
He wants to be held anonymous, so he's wearing a bright orange ski mask.
Yep.
And we're going to go by the name Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
So Johnny Appleseed.
Old Johnny Apple.
Are you originally from Florida?
Not born here, but raised.
You're not born here. Where are you originally from?
The Northeast. Mm.
So how did you end up in Florida?
I was a child. I had no choice.
No choice?
Yeah.
So your parents came down here? Or?
Moved down here at three, about okay. 3 or 4.
And you went down to, you originally moved down to South Florida or Pinellas County?
Pinellas County.
Okay. And how did you originally get involved in the drug world?
Where did it begin? Take us to the high school days.
The drug world began in the high school days, probably ninth grade, right here in beautiful Seminole. My friend, skater, I was a skateboarder, surfer, that type of, you know, bad guy that put a skateboard in the locker.
A lot of like us, just like us.
Yeah.
Exactly. But missed first period always because, you know, it was... hash time under the glass.
Speak a little louder. You're kind of like whispering.
Hash time under the glass.
You got a raspy voice, so speak up.
Johnny boy's a little raspy.
Johnny's a little raspy.
You went out last night. Okay.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody.
All right, tell me again how you started and got involved in the drug business.
Started selling hash, blonde Lebanese hash, then got to the black tar hash, and then it just took off from there. Marijuana, the gold bud back in the high school days was gold, like his shirt.
Ooh.
I mean, gold.
Weed?
Like, weed, yeah.
Okay.
Weed. And then that floated on for a while, probably about 6-7 years. You know, then high school ended. They, you know, escorted me out. They said, we've had enough of you.
You got kicked out of high school?
Of course.
How old were you, Johnny?
We've had enough.
Yeah. They said, Johnny, take your board and go on down the hill.
And how old were you when this happened?
Probably about 16.
16 years of age.
Went right in.
So what happened as soon as you got kicked out of high school? What'd you end up doing?
Straight into the drug world. Bam!
You were already in the drug world because that's why you got kicked out.
But
the hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
So that's when you got introduced to the hardcore drugs.
Hardcore drugs.
Which is what?
No, it was marijuana. It was marijuana for the first few years.
Okay. You know,
got introduced to the boys in Miami, the Keys. And it was all marijuana then.
So that's the only thing you did for money? You never had like a...
No, I worked. Like restaurant jobs and, you know, odds and ends, construction, that type of stuff.
Did you ever do commercial fishing?
No.
Never?
No. Where was the marijuana coming from back then?
It came from Colombia. Okay. And it came from Jamaica. They had the Jamaican tie. But everybody's into marijuana back then. And it was so different than the... coke world back then. There wasn't all the killing and fighting and all that crazy business. You know, people you know, they treated it like a job. It was like a regular job, you know.
Yeah.
But once the 80s came and the coke started flowing, everybody stopped the marijuana and got right into the cocaine. And then came the boat racing.
Wait. Didn't you tell me that you were one step away from Pablo?
That was in mid to late 80s. Started boat
racing. Okay, so this is down the road. This is down the road. Okay, so you got involved in Southern Florida. You eventually went down to Miami. You moved down there?
Moved down to Miami, Upper Keys, okay. The whole area.
And why did you move down there? Who did you meet that convinced you to move down there?
To get away from here because I was in too much trouble.
Oh, okay. You just moved down there just because. Yeah. Not because of drugs, just to get away.
Well, that's where the drugs are coming from. So I figured I'd just...
So you go down there and
hook
and
up,
what do you
meet
do?
Some guys through my roommate up here. We started going back and forth. It was so cheap back then. So cheap. $19 round trip from Tampa to Miami. I mean...
For flying.
Yeah, for flying. Round trip.
How much?
$19.
God damn.
Fly down, car in the airport from their family. We look like rock stars. Go to Skip's Rock and Roll Club on Madeira Beach. That was a famous place back in the day. Grab a date, fly down, look like a hero, and come back like a zero.
So are you bringing it back on the plane with you too?
No. That was just fun time.
You're just
time.
Traveling down there.
Okay,
traveling
so down. Let's go back. You moved to Miami.
Moved to Miami.
And who did you start? Who did you meet? Who got you into the business? Like, what did you start doing for work when you first got to Miami?
Sending weed. It was all weed.
Okay, you were
sending weed around the
country. Where were you sending it to?
People were coming and picking it up.
From where?
Picking up. They're from all over. Was like all in the middle. Wisconsin, people were coming from. They were coming from New York, Texas. I mean, all over. We're just loading their cars and sending them up the road. And I did load a couple and drive myself.
You drove? You trafficked
drove a couple? To Wisconsin.
All the way to Wisconsin.
How much weed did you have?
Do you have 10 minutes for me to tell you this story? I'm just kidding.
How much weed did you have on that trip?
So we had a pickup truck with a camper on the back. We took a pallet of wood, 5 sheets on the bottom, reel, 5 sheets on the top, reel, the whole inside. Was hollowed out, filled it full, 600 pounds, put band, strapped it down, and drove all the way to Wisconsin.
Damn.
Long drive. Got up there, put the money in, and drove back.
How much money did you make on that load?
That was only like, for me, only like $3,000 or $4,000, but.
And who were these guys, and where were these guys from? Like what?
These guys were South Florida guys, and the guys up north were like, who knows? I don't even remember how we met them, but they're good.
South
they're
Florida
good.
Guys, were they Hispanic? Were they
white? No, they're white okay. guys. White guys.
Okay.
Like rednecks.
What happened then? What happened next?
So you do some trips with those guys, and then what?
Yeah, trips with those guys. I lasted a while, and then everything slid from marijuana into the cocaine.
Cool. How did that happen?
Started in the boat racing world.
That's the boat mid, racing world.
Mid offshore power boat racing. It started.
You're like,
about
you got this weird
86.
Kind of whisper going. Like,
you know, sorry, Johnny boy. It's just hard to talk there. 85 to 86.
Boat racing is popular down there.
You transitioned from marijuana to cocaine, because of
who was in the boat racing world.
Okay, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, we raced one season, met all the guys.
Are you talking about those long cigarette boats? Those super
long and the cat boats and the
okay. But we met, the ones that go around the buoys and they like flip over, they go so fast, they do like straight up pitch pulls.
These sort of like over here in Clearwater.
Okay.
But met Captain America. He was like our main connection. A Cuban guy. He was a Marielito. That meant
his name was Captain America?
Well, his name was Omar, but his boat name was Captain America.
Omar. Okay.
Alescaré.
Omar Alescaré.
Yeah, he's not with us anymore.
Rest in peace, Omar.
Rest in peace.
Goodbye, Omar. But met him. Met him. He's from Miami.
Talk with more of like a full voice.
Yeah. He was our connect in Miami. Okay. Our big connection. Okay. Say the street price was...
And he raced speedboats. Like he was a speedboat.
Yeah, he
guy.
Was. His name of his boat.
He had his own team. You gotta have money to race those fuckers.
Yeah, he had a ton of money, but he was selling drugs. On the
and
time.
He was Mexican, or wait,
Cuban.
No, you said he was Cuban. Cuban. Okay.
Marielito came over in the boat lift, but he was smart engineer. Yeah, the houses in the Gables, houses in Upper Keys, you know, $1 million race boat.
Damn.
With the puller and
Omar was multimillionaire.
Multimillionaire. He was direct connect to you know who.
Mm-mm.
Pablo.
Mm.
The guy named Pablo.
Mr. Escobar.
Mr.
Himself.
Escobar, yep.
Garvia.
Yep. Direct connect. So if the street price was 20, we are
for
regular,
what?
For just a kilo.
For a key. 20.
We were already 3,000 ahead. So we were getting it from him cheaper already by getting it from him. He it was us.
So how much did you sell it for on the street?
So you're getting a key from
if
Omar
it's local,
for what?
Just say, oh, it varies.
17?
Yeah, for 17. We're already 3,000 ahead.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. All
right, gotcha. Street price is 30.
Or 20.
Street price is 20. 17. You're getting it for 17 from Omar.
So we're already ahead of the game.
How many of these things are you slinging?
More than I can handle.
Really?
Every time I go to this little shop, they put a duffel bag in their car. And I say, I don't want a duffel bag. Just take it. Gringo, take it.
They gave
it.
You more than you wanted?
Oh, always.
Oh,
really?
One or two duffel bags more. I don't want any.
And you told him, you're like, I don't want that much.
I don't
said,
want
take
just
it.
Just take it. Pay me when you can.
Really?
And bring me Rubiosita.
What does that
blonde
mean?
Blonde hair, blue-eyed chicks.
Oh, they
that's all he wanted was blonde hair, blue-eyed chicks. I come to the Keys and party.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. Crazy as can
be. So how old are you when this is all going down?
How what?
How old were you?
24, 5, and 6.
26-year-old, 25-year-old in Miami, rolling around, pulling up to Pablo's right-hand man's house, and he's
on
throwing
speedboats.
Throwing duffel bags in your car.
Duffel bags full.
And okay, so how much money or how much cocaine are you selling every week? And how much money are you making?
It varies.
Like on an average.
I mean, is it a key a week? Or?
No, well, key a week. Fucking 10, 15.
10, 15,
10 or 15
a week.
Kilos a week.
A week, yeah.
You're moving.
And I'm sending shit all through the mail, all over.
So you're making over $30,000 a week just in profit, just in your fee?
Probably. Somewhere
off
right
the top.
There. Yeah. But I mean, you know, as fast as it came in, it went out.
Right. You're spending it as fast as you get it.
Yeah. Limos every night.
What
hotels,
are you buying?
I mean, hookers. I mean, you didn't have to pay for the blow. That was the only good thing. It was cheap.
Oh, my God.
We were on fire. I'd make $1,000, I'd spend $10. It didn't matter.
Wow. I mean, how long did you and Omar work together?
So he went for a trip to Panama and never came back. Probably about 2-3 years.
You went to Panama with him?
No, he went with somebody to go see supposedly Pablo. Said I'll be back in a few days, and he never came back.
So what? Why?
So
why
were
the race boat? Why was the race boat industry, or why were you know the speedboat racers so tied into the cocaine business?
Because I think my take on it is because the Cubans could speak Spanish, number one, the Colombian, with the Colombians.
Right,
so
right.
That was part of the thing. And that it just took off from there.
And they could transport
fast
on
so
the boats.
The only speedboat races were Cubans?
No. There's all Americans. There's every kind. But I'm saying the ones that were in the drug world were Hispanic.
Were Spanish speaking.
Were Spanish, yeah. Mostly Cuban.
So did they use these boats to go back and forth or what? I mean, those boats go a long distance.
No, they did some. But mainly it was just, you know, airdrops, you know, or
I'm trying to figure out the connection for the speedboat races to the cocaine. Well, I don't understand the connection there.
It's just...
They just had the money and that's what they were into? Was racing boats?
Or were they moving on the boats? They were into racing boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of money. Money through the coke. I mean...
And the boat...
So
the boat business
just
is
for
a,
fun in
the
boat
business
racing
is a,
world.
The boat business is a good money laundering business.
That was like the Don Arano story.
That makes sense.
Everybody saw that, the Don Arano story from Cigarette.
Whose?
Don Arano.
Who's
cigarettes,
that?
The guy who started cigarette racing boats.
Oh, okay.
It was Don Arano. He was part of that whole... That was a little bit before me. But the main players were the Seahawk racing team. Willie Falcone and Sal Magluta.
They were the big boat racers.
They were the big boat racers.
When did they come into the picture?
They're in early 80s.
After Omar disappeared?
No. During the whole time, before Omar. Yeah.
Okay.
They're all friends. Everybody was all friends in the boat racing world. Like,
okay.
If we're in Key West at the offshore races and they ran out of some party goods, somebody would send a chopper up to Miami, pick up a Johnny or two, and fly back to party on.
Really?
Yeah. These guys had money. And they didn't care.
How did you meet Willie? Willie Falcone?
Yep. Through the boat racing world. And then I met him inside. In prison. Federal prison.
Oh, my God.
But he's a serious player. He's out. They just caught his brother. They were looking for him for, I don't know how many years. He was like the money man. They caught him in Orlando like maybe 8-10 years ago. Right in Orlando. And they made billions. Not millions. Billions. Did I say billions with a B?
Yes. Yeah. With a B.
With a B. But I mean,
Willie made billions.
Him and Sal. Sal's doing life. He's done. I think there's like 11 murders in the case. Oh, I don't know how Willie got out of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 11 murders. So I better watch what I say.
Holy fuck. And you're 26 years old in the middle of
all this. Oh, so wait, is
right
this
in the prime middle
have
of
you
it
seen
all.
The Cocaine Cowboys documentary?
Yeah.
Is this in the middle of all that? When all those murders are happening?
It's sort of with right around that, but a little bit to there to the left, and we were to the right, the boat races were. But that was, at that given time, the godmother of cocaine.
Griselda.
Griselda was involved with all that, and she had her hit man. But that was like, I wasn't around all that area. That was like, they were a little
so you never
crazy.
Met Griselda
they're,
or any of her people?
They were too crazy for me. Crazy. I know the crazy ones, but they were too crazy.
She killed everybody.
Crazy. Yeah, she killed everybody, and then she got whacked when she went to Columbia.
Did any of your friends get murdered? Any of your close friends get like murdered like in Miami when you were doing all this?
No.
Okay.
Just prison time.
Because that documentary made it seem like it was a bloodbath in Miami.
No, it was a bloodbath. It was a true bloodbath, but I wasn't involved in all that. I mean, from the marijuana change to the cocaine, marijuana was like mellow. You know, you go to bed at 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, everybody's chilling.
Duffel bag of weeds, a lot different than somebody banging on your door at 2 in the morning, all whacked out on blow.
Because they always want more, right?
Oh, always want more. But even if you're at a bigger level.
And marijuana wasn't as lucrative as cocaine because it was a lot bulkier, took up a lot more space,
exactly.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay.
What was the quality of the cocaine back then compared to nowadays?
Don't remind me. Johnny Boy doesn't partake anymore. But
right.
Do
but
you see
it,
that over there?
If you did.
That's what it looked like. Can you see this? Yeah.
The salt lamp?
It looked like if you took a tarpon and just scaled it, shale the shell off, it would just like sparkle and just like.
Really?
Ah, Johnny Boy's sweating.
Hey, Mr. Appleseed's hot over here.
I need a sip of drinker.
It's apple time.
Holy shit.
So what happens after Omar doesn't return? Then what do you
Omar
do?
Omar doesn't
That's
return.
Your main connect, right?
Yeah, that was our main
so
connect.
Then what
and
do
you're
do?
Flying all around. You're flying all around the state, all around the country with all this cash in your pocket.
Shipping it in the mail. Like,
just shipping
you're
the
just
mail.
Basically
Who
living.
Who cared if you lost half a kid?
What was life like? You were just living by.
Living, didn't know nothing about credit card, just cash. You could fly anywhere, anytime, under anybody's name. They didn't ask for ID back then. I was like O.J. Simpson running through the airport. It's Mark Avnet. It's Mark Avnet. I'm late. You know, well, here you go, Mark. Here, fly first class.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy. But
So, then what do you do when your connect's gone? When Omar doesn't return?
Connect's gone, it all starts slowing down. And then Johnny Boy got in a little trouble.
How'd you get in trouble?
No. What happened?
Took a kilo. Nobody brings dope into the Keys. I took a kilo, 2 kilos into the Keys.
Why?
To sell to somebody.
How did you get them, though? Because Omar was gone.
No, I found another connect. You always keep one or two more connections in your main, you know?
Yeah.
But took it in.
Why did you take it to the Keys? You just knew
you could
get
rid
of it?
That's where the buyer was. And this guy gave it to somebody. He got set up and calls me with the feds.
For another one?
No, calls me and says they don't want it.
Come pick it back up.
Yeah, and I said, no, I'm not taking that thing back. I mean, that thing is beautiful. I mean, it was nice. And he's taping me during this whole time. I don't know that. I just told him, drop on the ticket. I don't care. I'm not taking it back to Miami. So I call my buddies in Miami, another set of Cubans, and said, hey, I'm bringing it back up. See you in 45 minutes. I go to meet the guy.
Because they didn't want to drop on the ticket.
Yeah, he didn't want to drop him the ticket, but he's setting me up.
Right.
He's already setting me up. I pull up to a fast food restaurant.
So you come to pick it back up.
Pick it back up.
So he told you he got in trouble.
He didn't tell me he got in trouble. He called and said, hey.
So he calls what, later that day?
Oh, so he got caught after you gave him the kilo.
Exactly.
And then they basically got him to set
tell,
you up.
Yeah, exactly. And said, here, tell so him to meet me back at the same place.
Okay.
I go in.
And you said no. You said no, I'm not going to.
No, I said, I don't want to take it back. Drop. It's nice. They, you know, there's no reason why I should take it back. I said, drop on the price. I don't even care. I'm not going to drive out of the Keys. It's easy to drive into the Keys. Right. Hard to drive out. Go back to pick it up.
Okay, so he didn't want to drop. He said, no, I don't want it. So you agreed to go back and get it.
Pick it up, yeah.
Okay.
And then, shoot, they swooped in.
Where were you? Where was this?
On U.S. Highway 1, a little fast food restaurant.
What fast food restaurant?
A small one.
A Dairy Queen?
I think it was Dairy Queen. Or Burger King, one of the two. But, I walked in, made a phone call.
You walked into Dairy Queen, you got
made
in a payphone?
Made a phone call, yep. Made it on the payphone, made a phone call. Walked out, and next thing I know, guns are all over me.
Cops everywhere.
Surrounded.
As soon as you make the phone call?
Right after. And it wasn't
how many cops?
Do you even see your guy?
Didn't see my guy, no.
You just get off the phone and there's cops.
And I was probably calling him. I don't know. Walked back out. Cops everywhere. Front, back, all around. Guns drawn.
Fuck.
They put the cuffs on, and, you know, Johnny Boy's a little crazy.
How old are you now at this point?
Probably
28.
They say, Johnny Boy, you have two choices here. And they're surrounding me. They put their guns away. I'm cuffed up. They said, you can either, we can take you to Miami and we can go to jail, or we can call some of your friends, you know, and set them up. And Johnny Boy says, I think we got three choices. They said, three choices? And this is FBI, DEA, and local police. They say, well, what do you mean three choices? I said, I could run and you could shoot me. And they said, get him in the back of the car and get him out of here. Johnny Boy, you're going to jail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what
they took you to fucking jail right then and there.
Right there. And then, I went to a little substation in the Upper Keys, and it's a very small place. Four cells. I see people I don't know. The first cell, people I don't know. The third cell. Guess who was in the next cell? The guy that I was selling the kilo to. Yeah.
The guy who set you up.
Even after he snitched you out?
Yep. They took him to jail. He went to jail. All you had to do is keep his mouth shut. You know, Johnny Boy would have got him an attorney.
When they were setting people up, when they would tell somebody that we'll work with you if you can snitch out a couple of your friends, they would get those people, that person a rat. And then they would just not honor that. They would just still lock them up, not do anything.
Well, they
lock just for a little
them
bit.
Up.
Right?
They would just for a little bit, and then they let them out.
Oh, so they would actually do something for them. Yeah, yeah. They would work with them.
Because do you know you're set up as soon as the cops come?
I knew I was done.
You knew, but do you know you're set up by that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it's set up. So when you see him in there, you know he set you up.
Yeah, I said, what's going on? Why would you do that to Johnny Boy?
Yeah,
you all you had to do is keep your mouth shut, and you could have got out on bond. And maybe an attorney. What could he say? He knew he was, you know, caught. Or, you know, he knew that we knew. He knew that we knew.
And what did he say to you?
Like, nothing. I'm sorry. Older guy, you know. Older than Johnny Boy at the time.
So how much time did they give him?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. I got five.
So you get 5 years.
5 years.
That's it? For 1 kilo,
yeah.
5 years?
Yeah.
How much would you get now, you think?
For one, if you've been in trouble about the snow, about the same, there's...
Well, I don't know, maybe one. We had Tampatoni on it, but he got busted with like 10 keys for his first charge.
And never know the charges are different. You have guidelines to follow. Yeah. But this guy was an idiot. You know, to keep your mouth shut and, you know, get out on bond and, you know, work it out from there.
So what was prison like at 28 years old for 5 years?
Where's the prison? In Miami?
No. Well, you go to holdover.
Right.
You go to like a holdover and then you travel around.
What's a holdover?
Holdover, like
just
a federal
holdover.
Like a holdover federal facility.
You're doing that weird whisper thing again.
Okay, sorry about that. Johnny Boy's a little parched.
We had quick to cut you off real quick because your mask was getting too hot and you needed to get a more breathable mask so you wouldn't sweat so bad.
It's a little hot in here.
Are you feeling better now, Mr. Appleseed?
Yeah, Johnny's.
All right, so let's go back.
We want to go back to when you're moving the cocaine.
So, yeah, so right before you got locked up, were you getting high on your own supply? I mean, that's like one of the cardinal sins in slinging dope, is don't get high on your own supply.
Well, they say that, but when you have so much cocaine, can you really do it all? I mean, you have a duffel bag with 10 kilos in it.
Right.
You know how long it would take to do 10 kilos whooping it?
You'd die.
I mean, yeah, out of a supply of McDonald's straws. Ronald McDonald would probably be chasing me down. The redheaded guy.
Yeah, I know who he is.
No, but yeah, the coke was so good back then. You didn't need a lot. You know, we'd stay up all night partying. And let's go back to the boat racing world.
Yeah.
For a little bit, you know, the boat racers all had to take physicals and all that. The doctor at the end of it all started telling all the drivers and people in the boat,
yeah,
lean back. We got to see inside your nose. Why? We're doing so much blow.
Because they know everybody's on blow.
Blow. In the boat, on blow.
Really?
Oh, just they take their own little bottles.
Who was drug testing them?
The association, boat raising world.
Right.
Being on cocaine would affect your
Well, I mean,
driving
you're driving. You can't drive fucking NASCAR and be on cocaine.
The drugs. It was a different era. The drugs were so good.
So
everybody knew that smoking coke was bad. Now they call it crack, I think. Is that what it's called, crack?
Yeah, it's called crack.
back in the 80s.
Were you guys ever smoking it back then?
Nobody was supposed to smoke it. Everybody knew that. But I'm not going to lie. Johnny Boy did get wild a couple of times here and there.
What did they call it back then?
Freebase!
Freebase, right? It wasn't. It wasn't crack back then.
Yeah, nothing free about
it's
it.
It's called Freebase.
Freebase, yeah. but it's like Richard Pryor. They bring it back. I never really cooked it myself, but they bring it back and had ether involved, and that's how Richard Pryor, the comedian, caught on fire.
Really?
Yeah, he's trying to put ether on it, like after the wash.
And his rig blew up or something, right?
Yeah, something blew up. He's on fire.
Richard Pryor was freebasing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's a very known story.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's like, the cops came, the fire department came or something. He was in the house cooking up, and it blew up.
No way.
That was the ether blew up. And then a few good bands back in the day, Casey and the Sunshine Band, remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Casey, heavy on the smoke.
Really? Heavy on smoking?
Heavy on the smoke. Woo!
Damn. Hey, so what other celebrities are around, like, back then?
Back
you
then,
see, like, partying,
well,
you're out there partying.
In Miami, it was like, that was the Madonna era. I mean, I didn't see her doing it. It was all that kind of era. I mean, all the clubs were.
Are you seeing, like, football players and stuff, or?
Well, down there, I really didn't know that many football players, but everybody was partying back then. Mm-hmm. Everybody was partying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the mayor was partying just like New York. Remember, what was that guy's name?
Oh, the guy in Canada or something.
Yeah.
He got caught smoking crack.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. But no, but Miami in the 80s, it was just once the 80s and the drug world slowed down, they put all the laws and started arresting everybody, like half the bars in Fort Lauderdale went out of business.
Because
of all the drug money. There was a bar, it's called Sundays on the Bay, it's still open. All the dopers would come. Some of these guys' bar tabs for a Sunday afternoon was $8,000. I remember exactly.
For a bar tab.
For a bar tab in the afternoon. Johnny Boy one night did partake in the party with the boys, and they reminded me, hey, don't you have to run these 2 kilos up to Palm Beach? I said, damn, you're right. Johnny Boy's going to get all ass. I'm driving on 95. Fading, just ready to fall out. Johnny Boy's a fuck, I'm tired.
Because you partied all night.
I said, damn, what am I tired about? I reached under the seat, cut a window, pow, pow, pow.
Hit the road.
It was like the fucking Wild West, huh?
Super Wild West. Met my connect. Usually had a little system. We'd go eat lunch, buy some clothes, shoes, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just, here's your shit. Give me the money. Let me get the frick out of here.
Oh, my God.
It was the Wild West. People were ripping each other off, shooting. I mean, it was just like if you
people getting their arms whacked off for a Rolex with a machete.
That was just in a stoplight. If you're in a convertible and have your Rolex hanging out, somebody's going to get it.
And they would just machete your fucking arm off.
Yeah. That's the crazy crack people. They call them now, but back then it's just like they were just whacked on the freebase. It was so strong. Very strong. 10 times as strong as the stuff that they smoke now, but I'm not really sure because I don't really smoke it. But yeah. Johnny Boy did partake one time.
Wow. All right, so let's fast forward back to when you got locked up and you met the guy in the cell block 3 that ratted you out at the Dairy Queen.
Cell block 3.
The guy who ratted you out at Dairy Queen. And
yeah,
now
his name was
cell
Pablo, too.
Also a Pablo.
Was his name really Pablo?
Yeah, his name really was Pablo. Wow. He was
Where's he at now?
I'm not sure. Probably dead. Then they took me to Miami.
They took you to Miami?
Miami.
To Miami
right
jail.
There, get sentenced. Yeah, in federal.
Then you get 5 years.
How long did that take?
Months. You go over months waiting for all that stuff to happen. But then at that time, all the guys in the Upper Keys, all the Coast Guard station is in Alamorada. So there was a whole era when all the Coast Guard guys, we got in trouble. They would call the smugglers and say, hey, we're heading out in 20 minutes. Boatload of stuff floating. Get out there and get back. Grab what you can and go. And then they get broken off. Or they get some
Coast Guard guys.
Yeah, Coast Guard guys.
They
all
would
got,
tip off the pickup guys.
They pick.
So you got 20 minutes to grab what you can and go.
And go.
And they would pay the Coast Guard? Or they would just give them coke?
Pay them cash.
Pay them cash. Yeah. Okay.
But,
and they got busted?
Yeah, they all, about 5 or 6 of them did.
No way.
The late 80s. Whole big error.
Jesus.
But they, even if they didn't tip off the dope dealers, they grab some coke, slip some under their vest, and they'd sell it to somebody that they trusted. Mm-hmm. Johnny Boy got in a couple of those.
Did you really?
They were going for 24 to 26. Coast Guard guy had it. I paid $8,000, sold it that afternoon for 25. I gave him a deal. I took $1,000 off. Wow. 25. That's what you call a home run.
Wow.
And that happened a few times, but that's once in a while, you know.
Yeah. And then what happened when you went to court and you got sentenced?
5 years. And
did you have an attorney or?
Yeah, attorney.
So paid appointed?
No.
You paid a guy?
And then I had a state case run with that one, too.
What was the state case?
Damn it. I was coked, too, wasn't it? Shit. Johnny Boy got in some
you
trouble.
You had two cases
he?
At once?
Yeah.
Where we missed this one. What happened to this one?
This one was I was meeting somebody, and it was a fluke. Total fluke, if you know what that means. I was just mm-hmm. the wrong place, the wrong time, and it was state. But I think I would have beat it. But I'd already got a Fed charge, so they just ran it together. They didn't care.
Right, so what? You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. What happened?
I was dropping something off in the lower key.
You were dropped something off?
Yeah.
Do you not want to tell us what it is?
No, it was coke again.
How
coke.
Much?
That one was 2 kilos.
And how do you get popped on that one?
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Why, the cops just randomly show
up?
They were
next door and yeah. thought something was going on. And
they were watching the place or something.
No, they really weren't watching it. They just stopped us. The guy in front of me was the buyer. He took off. He got to go. Stopped me. Started searching. It was a legal search, but what can you say after they see the 2 kilos? You know, right. You're going to jail. That was it.
It seems like you could do this interview without your mask on. I mean,
do you want me to take it off?
Yeah, you can take it off.
Do you want to take it off?
All the stuff you've been, you went to prison for, you did your time. I mean, what are you afraid of? Why do you want to hide your identity?
There's still
people around.
No, you get after me, but there's still some active stuff going. We'll get
just
to
because
that.
You're no, telling all these stories, you're kind of worried.
No, but all the people.
Yeah, you should keep your identity hidden.
I think I should too. Yeah.
Oh man,
but, right.
There's no reason for the people to know who Mr. Johnny is.
So you got sentenced to 5 years.
5 years.
Where'd you get? Where'd they ship you off to after Miami?
Shipped me off to North Florida. Went to federal prison camp. That's for the boys from Wall Street and bankers, you know, and you play handball. Easy camp. It's camp, low, medium, and penitentiary.
Okay.
You don't want to go to the penitentiary.
You're at camp.
I'm at a camp, the lowest.
The lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Why do you get sent there? Because you got no previous charges?
No previous, you know.
No violent charges.
Exactly. But I worked my way up to a low and got out. I got in trouble. You know, camps, you can do anything. You can wear the clothes. You can have watches sitting in, cell phones.
Right, radios, TVs.
Did you meet anybody interesting when you were there?
No. At the camp next to mine in North Florida was it was Softly Camp. Who was at that one was a pretty famous guy, and at my camp. But that one was one of the guys from Studio 54, Ian Schrager. He was from Schrager Hotel Group. Never he was at the camp. You remember Schrager Hotels?
No.
Delano in Miami. It was like 10, 12 properties all around the country.
Probably before my time.
Yeah, yeah. It was before your time. Yeah. Studio 54. Well, you remember that?
No.
You don't remember.
I mean,
but you heard
remember
about
it. We heard it, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Right. Okay. Everybody.
Blondie. You know, all these people were hanging out there. Yeah. That was when cocaine was glamorous. They made it like the rich people were doing it. The super people were doing it.
Wall Street.
Wall Street, yeah. I was with the Wall Street Whiz kid, Leslie Roberts. He was there at my camp. His uncle owned Alcoa, still being traded on the stock market now. I guess he scammed him out of, like, I don't know how many millions. But he had a jet, flew around.
Wow.
Lived on some lake in Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but he was a shyster, total shyster. He shystered some of the drug dealers out of their money after he'd already been in trouble inside, telling them how to trade stocks and this and that. I mean,
wow.
I guess once a shyster, always a shyster.
What was his name?
Leslie Roberts.
Leslie Roberts.
The Wall Street Whiz kid.
The Wall Street Whiz
kid. The black guy?
No, white guy.
Okay.
No,
there was a Netflix documentary.
There was a few other guys. There was a couple guys. A lot of bank robbers, but nonviolent, shooting. We had the Reebok Bandit.
The who?
Reebok Bandit, they called him.
What did he do?
He would go in the bank, real athletic, jump right over the counter, clean the drawers up, pop, 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 out, and jump right up. When they had a print of a Reebok.
In and out.
That was it. In and out. And they finally caught him. Then Gainesville, the baby bank robber, goes to the vault, comes out, shoots the camera. Almost, he's lucky, he only got 9 years. Shoots the camera, ricochets, hits a computer, running out of the bank. The die pack falls out. They think it's pros. Really, it just fell out of the bag. So they think, oh, these guys are professional. He's the baby bank robber. A little picture of his baby face. It's 17 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, he was there.
That's crazy. So you were only in that camp or whatever for 5 years?
No, about 3 years. I
only
did. Three
right, because you're in holding for a while before you get there.
Yeah, 3 on 5, the guidelines change. Now you do 85% of whatever time it is. There's no
nowadays
good time.
You
know, there's no, you know.
Or back then?
Now.
Nowadays.
85%.
What was it back then?
It depends on where you fell, where you fell and what time you got in trouble and all. And they all got out, all my friends.
You weren't just like a pawn in this whole thing? You were actually like, people actually waited on, like, you
no,
were,
no,
were you an important piece of the puzzle, or were you just like a pawn?
No, a lot of people were pawns.
But you were a pawn, right?
Yeah.
You were expendable.
Exactly. Most
everybody
people
is
are.
In that business.
Yeah, everybody. Well, you see what happened. Everybody is. Pablo, what happened to him? Well, we axed him, didn't we? Pablo?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, everybody's expendable in that business. Everybody.
So you get out
a lot
and all
of
your
money. Get out.
They all your buddies are doing the same.
Give me a
nothing
half
changes.
A kilo for me to keep.
As soon
a
as
kilo
you get out.
Burn and
what
shirt.
Happened the day you got out? What happened when you first got out the first time?
Just got out. 12 friends of mine were waiting on me. Picked me up at Miami Airport, and it was on.
So,
on.
What do you mean it was on?
Party and drink. I got kicked out of every bar. I mean,
the day you got out?
Day got out.
So the whole time you're in there, you're not thinking, I'm changing. You know when you get out, going right back to the same shit.
You think that. And then when you get out and they hand you have nothing left, they hand you half a kilo and say, keep that for you, make the money.
No.
Get back on your feet. The other kilo burn and churn. We need some money for that one. And you're back on. Bam! 14 months, 12 months later, click, click, get it again.
You got busted again.
Yes.
No, wait. When you first got out.
14 months later.
Wait. When you first got out and they were all basically like treating you like it was your homecoming.
Yeah.
Were they basically like rewarding you for not ratting out anybody or like not switching out? They were happy that you didn't roll on anyone.
These were guys that I met inside.
Oh, okay.
These
and they
guys.
Got out.
But all my friends outside were still the same. But most of my friends outside were not dope dealers.
You're not worried about them thinking that you snitched on anybody or anything?
No, I didn't. They know I didn't. Okay. That was only the 1 kilo. So the only guy I could have snitched on was... Nobody really.
Okay, so
I
mean, what did you do for the couple the
so
year
you get
after
out and
got
party?
Out? The year after you got out, what'd you do?
Sold a cleaning product and some tanning oil as a front. and got right back in the cocaine business. All-purpose cleaning product. Had a van.
Why? Because you have to get a job or what?
Oh yeah, you always have to have a job. But I was already back. Yeah.
I mean, are you on parole?
Yeah, on parole.
So you get out on parole.
On parole.
And you have to get a job.
Have to
right?
have a job.
Okay, so that makes more sense.
So Johnny Boy's running it all around, selling cleaning product and blow at the same time.
And you're already a decent salesman anyway, so.
Yeah, I guess. I guess my product was good.
You're like 31, 32 now.
The cleaning supply is good.
Cleaning supply is real good. Going wide open. Top Gun sales guy. I think I got an award even. Next thing you know, bam!
You get come back. How long are you on parole for?
Why?
Somebody rolled in 4 years.
So you're on parole for 4 years after you get out?
Yeah.
And you get popped within the first year?
A little bit after the first year.
A little bit after the first 14 year. Months, you said.
Yeah.
So
stupid. Kids, kids stay in school.
Explain to me how you got popped.
Yeah, so how does that one
somebody,
go down?
Somebody set me up on that
again.
One. Okay, again. That's the only way. The feds have a 97% conviction rate, meaning that if I got popped with a kilo and said I wasn't guilty and wanted to fight it, if yeah. you lose, they're going to give you the top of the guidelines and say you could get
right,
9 or 10.
If
plead
you
out,
it.
You get...
If you don't fight.
4 or 5. If you say, right. I agree, I'm guilty.
Why is that?
They want their conviction.
Because it looks good for them.
Because they want to fill up the prisons?
Well, the prisons
or is it
full.
About the war on drugs?
But they
full.
Never want to lose at trial.
Exactly.
They don't want to lose.
And that's where they have 97%. That's, you know,
is that
right.
for like packing statistics on like the war on drugs? Or is well, that for filling
drugs.
The prisons? And why are they so incentivized to convict all these people for... For
well, they
cases.
Want their conviction. They want the conviction, number one.
Why?
It's not just
right,
the fill.
That's
a but it's
deep
a big,
story.
It's a money machine. Yeah, it's
yeah,
deep.
I
it's
mean,
super deep.
Prisons are run for profit.
And there is
the
prisons.
Whole nine.
There is prisons that are run by separate, not by the government.
Right.
You know, you can
right,
like
for
you,
profit.
Us three could go buy
you
a prison.
You can invest in
exactly.
a prison.
We could own our own
right.
prison.
Yeah. And I you mean, get money per inmate from mm-hmm. the state. From
and,
the feds.
And the government.
Yeah, right.
So you
there
have
was,
an incentive to fill it up because you
I
get
do
a certain
remember,
amount of money.
I do remember Noriega was at the holdover in Miami. They called him Pineapple Face.
Hmm?
Noriega.
Yeah, he was
a big cocaine dealer.
Oh, yeah. Huge. He had his own private cell. Wasn't allowed in population. They walked him at night. I mean, he could go outside at night, but he had only like a room probably half as big as this. Nice. You know, probably... His wife allowed to, I don't know if she's allowed to spend the night or whoever she was, supposed to be his wife. Yeah, once you get your claws in you, you're done.
And then you had already so, you'd already been in prison for 5 years. They caught you again. What was it like when they caught you the second time? Was it guns out everywhere? Same as the first time
same
or
scenario, just arrested.
Where do they pick you up at? The second
I
time.
I get popped at again, another fast food restaurant. I think I should stay away from fast food
yeah.
restaurants, Johnny Boy should. But I'm at a fast food restaurant. They whip in, check yeah. the guys in front of me. They had money in a thermos. They got away. They checked me. They kept the 2 kilos. It's a state charge. That's when they had me in custody. Then the guy rolls, and then they just came and put the charge on me. That's
damn.
What happened. The first charge was just straight. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Got me. Johnny Boy gets a little mixed
so
up.
So you're to prison. So now how much they get? Now what they pop you for? Another 5?
No, they popped me for, they wanted to give me.
5 years?
No, they wanted to give me 10 years.
10 years the second time.
10 years.
And then you
and I
up,
did 8. Yeah. I did 7 on 10. 7 on 10, so that made my 10.
Wow.
7 years. When Johnny Boy realized he was in
so
trouble
again. So you missed
again,
the 90s.
Like all the 90s.
You didn't even, you weren't even out of prison during, any, from 91
well,
to
no,
99,
no.
you were in prison.
90, yeah, whatever, it's, no, about 92 to almost 2000.
Wow.
All the 90s.
Missed
things did change, you know, not too much, you know, but you know, we already had cell phones, all just the technology.
Okay, so right. you know, you're in for the 7. Are you going straight after you get out on this one?
Going straight.
You're going straight.
Going straight. Done with it all. Change your surroundings, change your people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, didn't I meet you after that?
You were a little older and wiser. I met you when I was like 17 years old.
Wow.
Or no, I was older than that. I met you when I was like 19.
No, bro.
Or 20.
Because
it's my 21st
legal.
Birthday.
Yeah. Probably
21st birthday. I was about 19 or 20 when I met you. What happened between then, about 10, 15 years ago, until where to where you are right now?
So Johnny Boy's been good all this time. Got rid of, quit doing all the dealing for the millionaires. Just right. stepped away.
The drug business is gone.
Drug business is over. Totally over. Johnny Boy quit doing drugs. You know, he's trying to live the healthy lifestyle.
Good. Well, what have you learned from your lesson in dope dealing and being in the cocaine cowboy 80s and
the 80s
10
are gone.
Years in prison?
After 10 years in prison, 80s are gone.
What's your message to young kids growing up, maybe tempted to get involved in the drug game, the drug world? What would you say to them?
It's so crazy now. Stay in school. But there's one saying that holds true. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
Is that true?
That's
that,
very
that old,
true.
That old myth?
It's not an old myth. It's not what you know. It's who you know. Mm-hmm. You can step stones and get way far ahead if you know the top people. And which I think, Danny, you know a few top guns around town yourself.
I do. I do. Thanks to you, I got introduced to a lot of top guns. I met... our buddy Ben, who's no longer associated with Concrete, full disclaimer, he is no longer associated in any way, shape, or form with Concrete or any of its subsidiaries. Huh. I met him through Mike the Fish Guy.
Mike Bush.
Mike Bush. You know Mike Bush.
A.K.A. Bushwhacker.
Bushwhacker Mike. Around.
Mike Bush used to buy Johnny Boy and his friends beer at the Causeway Lounge many years ago.
Do we got any crazy stories we skipped over? What were we talking about?
We have a few crazy stories.
The Don Cesar. We missed the Don Cesar. The Rambo story. We missed that whole story.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Don Cesar?
Yeah, the Don Cesar, the Big Pink Building.
Great intro. Great fucking segue.
Hey, like hey, the Big Pink Building down by Paso Grill?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah. I went down there with a friend many years ago.
It's one of the biggest. It's like one of the most iconic landmarks in Pinellas County.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a surprise costume birthday party for one of the Hubbards, right across.
One of the Hubbards.
Yeah, one of the Hubbards.
The people who owned John's Pass.
Yeah, yeah, that same Hubbard family. I forget who it was. Me and a friend went down there. It's like we're in the Rambo era, so we dressed up with Rambo and headbands and hand grenades and. You know, took a certain.
It was
party.
Like Halloween.
Yeah, it was Halloween, but it wasn't Halloween. It was summer.
Costume night. Party. Yeah.
Costume party for birthday, though.
Right.
We go down to the Don Cesar. Me and a friend named Gilbert. Everybody knew him. He was a bouncer at Skip's Rock and Roll Club. Go down there, dressed as Rambo. Took a certain family member of mine's car, made it look like a tank. Go down out by the pool. He screams, "All right, all bikini tops off." He pulls a hand grenade. We're throwing black cats. Firecrackers are going off. The police come. They grab Rambo here. They grab Johnny Boy. They grab and say, "You're going to jail, Johnny Boy." They walk me out, throw me down, kick me, beat me up a little bit. Gilbert jumps in the pool with a straw like you see in the movies. Breathing out of a straw.
Wait, where did he get the straw?
I don't know where he got the straw. It was some girl's cocktail. I'm not sure, but he's breathing
so
out.
So he's hiding under the water.
Breathing out of the straw, hiding under the water.
It's a pool.
Johnny Boy, but he's under.
Like they can't see the fucking guy in the pool.
No, but it's full. People are scrambling. Police are called. They arrest Johnny Boy. Throw him down on the side. Say you're going to jail. They put the cuffs on. Big old cop. Puts cuffs on Johnny Boy. He can't feel his hand. They take me to the police station, little substation, St. Pete Beach. Johnny Boy's, you know, ready to get out of there. He'd only been there for like 10 minutes, and I couldn't feel my hand. I call the front. Johnny Boy calls the front and says, "Hey, we got to let my client out."
Keep going.
And he's got to go to the hospital. So they release me on RR. Johnny Boy's family shows up.
Johnny Boy was
done. He shows up at the Hubbard bar. You can't keep Johnny Boy down.
You get arrested and you get bailed out and go back to the bar.
Right back to the bar. Bam.
What year was this?
About 1985.
This is before all the prison.
Before all the cocaine.
Wow.
We were just doing blow back then. But the beaches were crazy.
I was supposed to get the Cocaine Cowboys guy on this podcast, the guy who made that documentary. He was actually supposed to come on here last weekend, but something happened.
I wanted
to get the Don Cesar story.
No, Don Cesar's story is over. But what we want to do is we want to I want to ask you.
Ask me anything you want.
A couple stories.
Ask me whatever you want. I got all answers for you.
My question to you is, you started a certain show, and now it's turning back and biting you in the butt, and you're just a little guy scratching at the surface, trying to make some money and doing okay. And then these greedy millionaires, you know.
Don't call them greedy millionaires. That's not fair.
Well, I mean, you're right. But, I mean, they all seem
to be just assume people are greedy because they're millionaires.
Well, they got that way somehow. But, I mean, when you offer them something and then they just want more and then they want to shut you down, I mean, why don't you tell us that little story?
Well, it's not the same. It's Life for Sale, that show.
That's when you started.
That's the one I started.
And you started this.
I started this.
All on your own.
All on my own, correct.
Had some backing.
Well, he
from
helped
some
me.
People.
He gave me some money. He helped me buy some equipment. But he gave me actually one of the video cameras. He got me a lens. He got me a hard drive, stuff like that.
Let's give that back.
It's not that that person is greedy. That guy's not a greedy person. That guy's actually a very generous person.
And so the show started how many years ago?
We met and we started filming 7 years ago, and we started putting it on YouTube a little over 3 years ago. In about 2015, we started putting it on YouTube.
And that show took off?
The show took off.
Like wildfire.
I mean, only like, after 3 years. So we started in 2015, and it didn't really take off like wildfire until summer of 2018. So summer of 2018, after I think it was season two started. So after we did a whole season with like 30 episodes, took a little break, and then we did a season two. And then about August of 2018, we did an episode where we went to a house for sale in Weston on the East Coast near Deerfield. And it was Birdman and Lil Wayne's old house, the Cash Money Records. It was their old house. We went there. That episode took off like a nuclear rocket.
Wow.
And that blew up the entire show. Now every episode we were posting was getting hundreds of thousands of views. And it blew up my YouTube channel and Concrete, which was the like my media brand, which is my Concrete.
So I
created Concrete. I had concrete.com. I had a YouTube channel, social media, whatever. And I had kind of like a media company, right? And I was producing Life for Sale underneath all of this. So once Life for Sale blew up, it elevated my brand and my company. So now I was still creating other stuff. I was still doing interviews. I was still doing like other little series. I did a series called Deckhands that followed commercial fishermen in Madeira Beach and like the commercial fishing industry, which also blew up. That blew up almost bigger than Life for Sale, but it was only 4 episodes.
Wow. So really anything.
So what it did was it boosted my platform.
So he's involved. The show is about him, but you guys aren't making money. Right? Nobody's making money. 3-4 years.
First 3 years, nobody's making any money.
Following around doing videos and self-taught. Correct?
Yeah, self-taught.
Okay.
But when I first put it on the internet, everyone thought that was a stupid idea. This guy's like, fucking YouTube. Why would I guess? Whatever. Go ahead, do it. I said, yeah, it'll be good. It could work.
You're like his.
It's kind of like his bastard. I was kind of like his bastard stepchild for all those years. All right, let's wrap this fucking thing up.
Yeah,
I'm getting tired. I want to make sure there's like a positive ending to it. I want to make sure that young kids don't end up being a fucking idiot like you were when you were young.
No, I was a total idiot. Stay in school and don't think all that glamour is there. Oh, yeah, it's glamorous for a hot second. But the end of the road, the payday is not worth it.
What do you do for work now, by the way? Let's talk about your glamour days back in the 80s and you're making 50 grand a week.
I don't know if we could talk.
You don't have to say exactly. You're a day laborer now. How old are you?
60.
So you should be.
Let's just say you work a 9-to-5 nowadays.
Yeah, 9-to-5.
A regular 9-to-5.
Yeah, you work hard work out in the hot sun doing day labor shit.
We'll just say you work a regular 9-to-5 nowadays, right?
And you're 60 years old.
So you should.
So the drug business did not pay off. That's what we're saying?
It did not.
You should let your story be a lesson to young people and to the youth.
You see all that fast money?
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Run from it.
It's an old saying. If it's too good to be true, it is.
That's exactly what Tampa Tony said, I think.
Yeah.
If you think it's too good to be true, turn around. Yeah. Either you're going to get ripped off.
If there's any sort of suspicion, that's too good to be true.
It's over.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the show, Johnny.